Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He is a seven-time All-Star, three-time Rolaids Relief Man Award winner, and he led the major leagues in saves four times. As we come back here on the Triple Threat, Sean Pendergast and Rich Lord.
At one time held the all-time record for total saves.
He did.
When he retired, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. And he's soon to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to find out who his Hall of Fame classmates are a little later on this evening, as we all will. And most importantly, he's going to be at the 33rd Annual TriStar Collectors Show at NRG Arena Sunday, February 10th at 11 a.m. You will find soon-to-be Hall of Famer Lee Smith. And he joins us now on the Buyers Barricades Hotline. Lee, it is a true pleasure. It's great to have you on the show. How are you?
I am doing good, man. Thank you guys for having me, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you here in Houston, man. So what's that Hall of Fame designation, that tag? What does that mean to you?
Well, man, it ain't stuck in yet. I'm still working at it. I'm still working at where do I put the year or do I put the Hall of Fame first on my autograph, man? It's crazy, but it's been a good crazy. But I tell you what, man, maybe Bobby, when I get to Houston, go help me get it to sink in a little easier.
Yeah, we'll get it squared away. You know, Lee Arthur, it's an honor for Jeff and I to have you. Over the years, we've had you at our shows, and as you know, you and I have talked about this, and we always discussed when you get in, and so you better get ready. I'm going to give you a big kiss on that cheek when I see you. And a big hug.
Oh man, I can't wait, brother.
some people were excited to see you, and we're so thankful you're now a member of that club.
Lee, did you lose faith at any point in this process that this day may never come?
Well, you know, I did a little bit because, you know, right after I retired, you know, I was the all-time save leader for like 15 years. And, you know, it always depends on who was on the ballot with you. And then I got over 50% a couple of times, and then it went to 20% a few times. So, you know, it wasn't as much as losing faith as, like, what year could have happened then when me and Alan Trammell, you know, was grandfathered in for the 15-year ballot. So I was wondering what was going on with that, and then I saw Alan and the guys get in. So I started getting a little more faith and thinking my chances would look better. But I tell you what, it's a really awesome ride these last couple months.
Lee, how do you feel now about how the Hall looks at relievers, especially in light of today? I think the expectation is that Mariano Rivera is probably going to walk into the Hall of Fame. And then it seems like with you, it was just timing more than anything else. If your candidacy for the Hall of Fame came up maybe 5 or 10 years after the window that you had, you'd have been going in like the rest of these guys.
Well, I tell you what, man, because, you know, we back in the day, myself, Goose, Bruce Sutter, and all those guys, you know, we pitched 2 or 3 innings for saves, and the game has really changed a little bit. But you know what? You got to have a good bullpen, as they well know, to win, you know, at the end of the season, because of the long season, long grinding season, 162 games, and then they forget about, you know, the wild card and all that, man. So if the team don't have a good bullpen now, it's tough, because, you know, if you lose a game in the fourth inning, okay, we got a butt kick in the fourth inning. But you go within an out of winning a game and they get that snatch back from you, that really hurts, not more so the closer as it does the ball club as a whole, sort of like it put like a little, you know, a little damper on that thought, especially if you go into a series and it's the first game and things like that happen. So I'm glad to see that, and I'm really glad to see that my buddy, good friend of mine, lifetime friend Harold Baines, because they talk about the DH, you know, oh, you don't know about the designated hitter. Well, ain't too many guys can walk out of the clubhouse and get a hit off a no run. You know, so it's a tough thing, man, but I'm glad to see that.
Soon-to-be Hall of Famer Lee Smith, our guest here on the Triple Threat. Lee, Sean mentioned that you played some college basketball. You're 6'6". Yeah. You certainly threw the baseball very hard at the height of your career. I'm curious. There was a guy here in Houston that I know who I'm about to say, J.R. Richard, who preceded you by a couple of years in the big leagues. But the fact that he was so big and threw so hard that intimidation was a part of his effectiveness. I think it was Richie Zisk who famously said once you could tell what he ate for lunch. He got so close to home plate on his follow through that you could smell his breath. Did you have that mindset since you were big and threw hard that intimidating the hitter at the plate is part of what I need to do?
Well, you know what? You can try that, but if you intimidate a major league hitter, he ain't gonna be around very long. So you better get that out of the way quick. But these guys, like now, man, it is unbelievable. But you know what I think helped me a lot was that 3 o'clock game in Chicago with the shadow sort of helped a little bit too. You know, that was a great feeling though. But we didn't have lights, so we had to play day games. But just to be able, well, one thing I really pride myself on not being so much as intimidating or as great a hard throw was my control. And I always looked up to my good buddy, Frankie Jenkins, that he taught me a lot about pitching. I always really, really pride myself on making good pitches.
Lee Smith joining us here on the Triple Threat on Sports Radio 610. Lee, you're going into the Hall of Fame. This is, I guess, a pretty basic question, but not many Hall of Famers go in having played for 8 different teams. Which team, which ball cap is going to be on your head going into the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot, but the Hall of Fame helped me make that decision in the last couple few years, I think. I think now that you have to go in as the team you played the longest with.
Okay.
So it wouldn't bother me to throw a little Cub Cardinal hat on that hat, you know, but you can't do that now, so I think it's definitely going to have to be a Chicago Cubs, which don't hurt my feelings at all.
No. 1980 through 1987, you played 8 years for the Cubs. You played for some iconic franchises, though. Cubs, Red Sox, Cardinals, Yankees, Orioles, on and on. The Reds, Angels, Expos, just to round out the entire list. Is there a particular point in your career that you look back at most fondly?
Well, you know what really is strange that you might say that? I wasn't a big fan of California. But until I got an opportunity to play for the Angels, and I got out there, and because, you know, you can get the fans out there, they get to see movie stars, you know, every day, you know, so it wasn't no big thing for them, you know. But I got there to play with the California Angels. As a really good friend of mine, Troy Percival, but I've always been a fan of Western movies. And to play for Gene Autry, that really, really stuck into my heart right there, man. And he made it so much fun, you know, to play for that organization, man. But all the teams that I played for, I had fun. You know, Baltimore was great. I was only there 1 year. I got a chance to play with Harold Baines. Montreal was always, you know, everybody talked about Canada. You know, I didn't understand the game, but I love playing in Montreal. And just to put on a major league uniform, no matter where you are, man, is a great feeling, because there's not very many guys on the face of this earth get to have that feeling.
No doubt. Gene Autry, great drop there, the original Hollywood cowboy.
Yeah, man.
Hey, yes. I got to ask you, like Sean referenced, you were in a Cub uniform for most of the 80s.
Yeah.
Cubs in the 80s, I immediately think Harry Carey, right? I mean, he's around every day that you're playing for the Cubs. You got a particular memory of Harry you can share with us?
I tell you what, one of the best ones was like, you know, Harry was sort of wrapping up a little bit, and they were trying to give him a little break, and he was supposedly had stopped drinking after he had a stroke. And I never forget, Ryan Sandberg's wife at the time came in, and she was trying to get him to plug some of the Cub wives' charities. And they to get him to do this, they brought him a six-pack of Budweiser. And Harry mistakenly said on the air, "Here comes the beautiful Sidney Sandberg with six of my best friends, and they all named Bud." So he told off on himself. But it was like those things, those moments that you get. We used to go in a caravan with those guys, but with Harry Carey, it was fun every day, man.
He knew where his bread was buttered.
Of course.
Oh, God. He definitely did. Yes, he did.
Lee, of course, we're talking to Lee Smith, soon-to-be Hall of Famer. And Lee, we're here in Houston, obviously, and you pitched for the Cubs for 8 seasons, the Cardinals in the early 90s, a couple other stops in the National League along the way before interleague play became a thing. What are your memories of pitching here in Houston, and do you have any particular memories about some of the other Houston greats, who maybe even two fellow Hall of Famers, Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell?
Well, them two guys I'm trying to forget about. Oh, man, because you know what? I'm from Shreveport area, right? So half of my buddies and my family and everything was in Houston. And Bagwell and a few of Cheryl Cruz and a few of the guys didn't treat me real well. But I tell you what, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it going there with that competitive thing that they had, man. And You know, you didn't know at the time who was going to possibly be a Hall of Famer. And then we look at, you know, Biggio changing positions a couple of times, you know, and you just think about that. You know, most people don't realize, you know, Jeff Bagwell's not that tall of a guy, man. But this man, when he came out, he had some pop. But, you know what, you couldn't go out there and make any excuses when somebody roughs you up and then you go to hang out with your buddies at the restaurant after the game. They was like broadcasting every game themselves. So that was a tough stop. That was a tough stop for me in Houston, man. But I have great memories of that city and playing at the Astrodome.
So Shreveport, you mentioned, Lee. Does that make you a Dallas Cowboy fan?
Well, I'm sort of hung up, brother. Because the young man that's quarterback for Dallas Cowboys played about probably 15 minutes from my house here in Benton, Louisiana. Yeah. But
gotcha.
But you know what? You can't get that New Orleans thing out of your system, brother. And that hurt. That hurt, man. I think the whole conversation on my flight from St. Louis yesterday was all about the Saints game and the call and everything like that. I'm like, man, you got to get over it. But it's tough. But I don't have to say it wouldn't bother me if either one of them would have gotten there.
How much have you thought about your speech at Cooperstown this coming summer?
Well, I'm going to hope I can get some ideas from you. You can help me out a little bit when I see you in Houston, man.
I'll have the whole speech written for you, Lee. We'll just put it on a disc. We'll just hand it to you. It'll be done. Don't worry about it. We got that.
Sounds good, man. But I think you might be easier to do Harold Baines' speech because he probably ain't going to be in about three sentences, man. But Harold didn't ever talk too much. He did all his talking with his back.
I was about to say, Lee, it doesn't seem like you're having trouble finding words. I think you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. What? Lee, do you collect any memorabilia? Do you collect any of your own memorabilia, or do you collect other people's memorabilia?
Oh, God, yeah. Always basketball, man. You know, I went out there, and you actually charged me for Akeem Olajuwon basketball, sucker. So don't forget that either.
Right, we charge you retail, I think.
It's business, not personal.
It's nothing business. It's all business, nothing personal.
Save that, B-Mac. You charge me for Akeem Olajuwon autographed basketball.
That is awesome.
Sucker.
One thing about Lee, you guys will always remember, he's got a phenomenal memory.
Sounds like it.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Hey, man, but you know what? My first love, and you talked about Northwestern, my first love was basketball. But I had a better fastball than a jump shot. Thank God I was smart enough to figure that out.
Yeah,
it worked out pretty well.
So, Lee,
you're
obviously, you know, keeping up with around what's around you in the sports world. Just from talking to you here for a couple of minutes, that's obvious. Huh? So I got to ask you, you mentioned Harold Baines, good friend. So glad he's getting in. You know that this selection has been mocked by a lot of people saying that he's not deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. Why would you say he is deserving of being in the Hall of Fame?
Well, the people that are saying he's not deserving never faced him. But I tell you what, when Harold retired, man, he was like he was like career leader and everything as a designated hitter, and they give him a hard time, I think. And I was in the same boat, man, because we had that same problem with the closer thing, you know? They were talking about the guy who threw one inning, the guy who was DH. Well, I tell you what, there ain't very many guys can go out from inside that clubhouse, sitting around, doing whatever they do to work out. You can do all the bat swinging you want to do, but get your drilling going from that dugout up there to face Hall of Fame pitchers. I tell you what, that's a tough job right there, man. And a lot of people don't realize how tough it is, man. And I think, you know, that job right there is sort of put in that same category, like I said earlier, as the closer. We're like, oh, what? You know, the guy don't play. Hey, I'm telling you, that's a tough job to do, man. And I'm glad to see that for Harold, man, because I've known him from when he came into big league. We was like good friends with the White Sox.
Well, I'll tell you this. He was a part of three baseball strikes. So if you take the lost baseball games he was a part of, he would have played another full season, 162 to 180 games. If he had if he had played in those games, he would have had 3,025 hits.
Which I've not heard anyone make that point. That's a great point.
Yeah, that is a really good point.
But it's baseball. I think it's more baseball people, you know, that knowledgeable, like you just said, those numbers. And, man, I'm going to tell you something. It's tough to get out there and get a hit, man, because Smitty tried to hit himself, and I found out real early I wasn't going to make it. I was like, thank God I got a good arm, man. that was one of my reasons I went to the mound, because I was like, I always wanted to try and catch. But I couldn't hit, boy. I couldn't hit water if I fell out of a boat. God that arm came around for me.
Yeah, no, well, you were pretty damn good at pitching and obviously a Hall of Fame level. Sunday, February 10th, 11 a.m. at the TriStar Collector Show, the 33rd annual, TriStarShows.com. Yep. If you want to grab a ticket to get Lee Smith to sign something, maybe he'll even put sucker at the end of it for you when he...
You know I would for you.
Lee Smith. Hey, Lee, this was a pleasure, yeah, man. This was an honor, especially as somebody... I grew up a Red Sox fan, so I remember you in the late 80s and early 90s when you came over from the Cubs. I was thrilled to have you as a Boston Red Sox, so it'll be great to have you in Houston for the TriStar Show. Safe travels to you. We really enjoyed this.
Oh, sound good, man. You made really a big corner with my son, Nicholas, because he's a Red Sox fan, everything.
There you go. There you go. Hey, we appreciate it, man. Safe travels. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, we'll see you soon in Houston.
Definitely, guys. All right, babe.
All right, there it is. Lee Smith.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.